Somebody who got a super wedgie this week were the folks at Yahoo.
Ooh, my
My goodness. One of the top items this week was 500 million, at least the way it was reported in the press, was that suddenly Yahoo was announcing 500 million of their users had their passwords stolen. Somebody to help us look into that a little deeper is Kasten Thomas. He is the CEO of Interworks Technology, which is a computer and network security company out of Rochester. Kasten, first of all, I've got to thank you so much for being with us because you have done the ultimate sacrifice, stepping away from your son James' wedding to report.
Well, he's not getting married right now, and it's not the ultimate sacrifice. It actually takes the pressure off and gives me a break.
Give you something else to think about, eh? And he's not getting married for at least 50 minutes yet.
So. Well, you're not.
5 o'clock our time. I'm actually in the beautiful Columbia Gorge Hotel, which was built in 1921, and they renovated it in 1979 to add electricity and indoor plumbing. And this is just a beautiful place on earth that rivals some of the beautiful places we have in Michigan, like the Sleeping Bear Sand Dunes and the waterfalls up in the Upper Peninsula. It's just a wonderful place.
You're in the Hood River area, right? Am I right?
I am looking out my window at Mount Hood.
Gorgeous.
Snow-capped.
Oh, my goodness. What a gorgeous scene. Well, it was not a gorgeous scene for Yahoo this week, but Gary has some questions to ask you about this, because it would seem that we've heard this new before, haven't we, Kasten?
We have, over and over.
Yeah. So why is this news today when the real breach happened? In fact, they found the breach happened sometime in 2014, but they announced it at the end of 2014. Now they're announcing it again?
Sure.
What's going on?
Sure. Well, it's a matter of the increase in the amount of information that has come to bear. And, you know, not being an insider, none of us know the full story of what happened or when who knew what. But it became pretty apparent about a month ago when the names and passwords and emails and birthdays and phones and some of the security questions were put on sale on what's called the dark web.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, interestingly enough, Verizon is buying Yahoo.
Yeah.
They bought AOL a couple of years ago. And Verizon issued a security report early this year that said that only one out of 20 breaches in corporate America are discovered by the Information Security Department, that 19 times out of 20 or more, the breaches are discovered and reported to the organization by an outside party, either the media or a business partner or something like that.
Or could it be
not uncommon?
Could it be a company like yours, for instance, Interwork Technology, because you're a computer and network security company?
Well, we certainly would like to think we can have a hand in it, and we have some great technologies for that. But, you know, it's a combination of things that businesses and individuals have to take care of.
Yeah.
You know, Kasten, a lot of times the way it's discovered is all of a sudden content, you know, data appears on the dark web for sale.
Right.
And so that's what kind of precipitated, I think, this announcement,
right,
is that there's more and more data now on the dark web for sale. But it's old data. I mean, there was a media company that went out and purchased some of this and then tried to get, you know, tried to see how much of that was the active accounts, and they couldn't find an active account in the amount that they had purchased.
Right.
So, you know, and we do know that this data, or we were told, and we suspect that that's true, this data is from 2014. How, if people had changed their password back then, after that breach was announced initially, they don't have to do it again. They might still want to, of course, because you should keep it current, but they don't
have
to. Oh, really? Okay, tell me about it.
For a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, we know about this breach. The ones that we really have to be afraid of are the ones that we don't know about. So we need that personal commitment to ourselves that every 6 months we're going to change our passwords. And I know you guys talk a lot about password managers.
Yeah. Kasten, we're going to take a quick pause here, if you don't mind.
Good.
When we come back, we have some other questions to go into further this, but I'd be interested much more in hearing much more about your advice to people about their security especially about passwords. Coming back in just a second with Cassin Thomas. It might seem like a tired old story to rehash, but boy, is it important, folks. And underlined again this week by news headlines, it said a half of a billion Yahoo addresses, passwords, etc., were out there in the wild. And with us right now to talk about this incident is Cassin Thomas, calling us from Oregon. He is the CEO of Interworks Technology, which is a computer and security company based here in the Rochester, Michigan area. Cassin, again, thank you for taking time out of a very important occasion to be with us.
Happy to be here.
Now, you were starting to say something just before we went into the break about the importance of changing your passwords, I believe.
Right, Cassin, yeah. You were saying that, and, you know, it kind of makes sense if, you know, there's a breach, this information's stolen, it gets put on the dark web. A lot of times we don't even know that the breach has happened and the company doesn't know the breach has happened. If we change our passwords, it, you know, that takes care of the problem, right? They stole the old password, they didn't get the new password if we change them every 90 or 180 days. Is that what you're thinking?
And using sophisticated passwords, you know, using 16 digits and long phrases instead of a person's dog's name and children's name with their birthday.
Mm-hmm.
We've all been guilty of that.
Yeah. Or, definitely.
You know, ABC, 123. You know, those are the first things that the hackers are going to check are common names with four digits, because they know that through studies that have been published that people do that. And another concern is that, you know, a study was done about 3 years ago, and it revealed that 40% of people's passwords on their corporate email account was the same as what they were using in their personal email account.
Mm.
So if a hacker discovers one password,
yeah.
You know, hackers connect dots and they try lots of things. And so they'll associate a person and, you know, search Google or Facebook or
LinkedIn, find out where you're
out.
Or Amazon, you know. So if they get your Yahoo and you happen to sync that password up with Amazon, pretty soon all your Amazon dollars and credits are going to be gone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cal, you had something?
Hey, Cassin, is there a reason why most companies don't find the breaches on the inside is because they don't know where to look for them? If they knew where to look for them, they'd seal up the breach, right?
Well, yeah, but hackers have a way of covering their tracks. And the way I liken it is, let's say we think of a business and their data center or all their data like a warehouse, and that warehouse is full of candy and food and brownies and chocolate and those kinds of things. And, you know, you've got millions of insects outside. Well, what the insects do is they find that one little crack, and then they tell all their friends about it, and all of a sudden you've got this infestation of flies or ants.
That is a great analogy.
And,
yeah.
And actually, like fruit flies. What happens a lot of times is even easier, and that is if, you know, if somebody found out your password, they come into the system as if it's you. And you know, there's no breach. It's harder and harder to get past firewalls today. It's harder and harder to get, you know, there's a lot of technology that we're using to protect the organization. But if, Cal, if we think it's you, we're going, okay, we want Cal to come in because he's an employee here. And then, oh, by the way, now we've got to set up other systems that say, wait a minute, this is not usual for what Cal usually does. How come he's here in this system instead of, you know, he's never been in this system before? And we don't have the technology easily available to say, this isn't Cal, right? Because it looks like you. It's using your account. And wouldn't you feel badly if there was a big breach at your company because somebody got your password because you didn't use good passwords?
That's happened.
You didn't use a good password technology,
right?
Or a good password process.
Cassin, one of the things I saw in some of the news was that they've identified, or at least the claim is, that the perpetrators of this hack were agents of a foreign company. A foreign state-sponsored hack. First of all, how do they know that?
Let me start by saying I'm trained as a security professional to be skeptical and cynical, and I don't have the insider knowledge, but I look at this like the toddler who had an ice cream cone, dropped it on the couch, and you know, mom comes in and screams at him, and the child says, "Wasn't me."
Yeah, right.
Oh, and goodness, all my analogies are involving food.
Well, yeah, dinner's not served until 8. I know how that goes.
Get something to eat before the wedding, please.
A snack of some kind.
Well, you know, and this... Another thing that this reveals is not only did they were the user accounts IDs and passwords revealed, and you just don't need to change your passwords every 6 months. You need to review the security on anything that you go to. Like I would go to my Amazon every 6 months and make because a lot of times they make security policy changes, and now they want me to provide them with a mobile number and a backup mobile number as an example, so that if I need to reset my password, they can. Send that a security code to my wife's phone.
Oh, yeah, that's
as an example.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
you know,
is that called two-factor authentication?
Yeah, I think it's 2F, isn't it, or two-factor, right?
Right. Well,
it's called two-factor authentication, and even, you know, Yahoo has a service for all of their services that not many people know about, called the Yahoo Key Account, and you don't even need a password every time. You go to log in, they will send a message to your phone, and on the phone you can respond, and that will log you in.
I want it. Why don't I have that with anything?
Yahoo Key Account, it'll point you right to that service.
If they are so far thinking ahead, how did they land in this place?
Well, it was in 2014.
Okay.
Right?
And it was sometime before that. I think the rest of us are dummies, too, because we're not changing our passwords enough, and, you know... I'm as guilty as anybody of thinking, well, it couldn't be me.
I'm sorry, guys. I still find it hard to believe that a company like Verizon could know 2 years ago
Yahoo.
That a property or, well, the Verizon was buying Yahoo. Well,
yeah, but it happened when Yahoo, before they bought.
Don't you think, Gary, you work in the corporate world all the time, that they knew, they had to have known about this when they were in the process of purchasing. You don't think so?
Well, they're trying to purchase it now. It happened 2 years ago to Yahoo.
Well, you mean it's like a fire sale?
No.
It happened 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's timing. And I think what's happening now that this is in the works, they have to like open up all the barn doors and air out the place so that Verizon doesn't have any stains once they buy them out. You know?
Mm. Yeah. If I were Verizon, I'd say clean this mess up now.
Yes, that's
and
the
make
term.
Sure it's cleaned up.
Verizon, through their purchase of AOL, the chief information security officer is Chris Nims, who happens to be a born and raised man from Traverse City, Michigan.
Mm.
And Verizon is, I'm sure, if I was sitting in their shoes, saying, we have outstanding security people. We know about this breach. We can apply our own security methods to this and clean this up ourselves.
Oh, I got you.
A part of the
once they buy it.
Yeah.
I wonder if they use it as a bargain. I wonder if it was a bargaining chip, knowing that they were getting damaged goods to some extent.
Well, I don't know about that. You know, they're not buying it for the data, right? That's not the reason. That's not their business case for buying it. I think they need to clean up. They don't want to, like Ed said, they don't want to deal with this. You know,
absolutely. Oh, heck no.
Clean this all up before we get it. And that's on your dime. Once we buy it, then it's on our dime. We want it on your dime.
Cassian, I want to go back to the state-sponsored hacking for just a minute. Are there certain things you look for that are indications that this is state-sponsored, hacking?
Well, here I go with the food thing again, but when you're looking for the hacking, it's like peeling an onion. And the hackers are good at covering their tracks. I believe that, you know, and we've seen this time and time again, especially recently, breaches discovered, and the first knee-jerk reaction is for the people responsible for protecting the data say, well, it was state-sponsored, or it was the Russians. And, you know, that's just a good way of saying it's not us. It's pointing the finger at these really sophisticated hackers.
Scapegoating. You know, it's the dog did it.
Well, and sometimes
the dog ate my homework.
Sometimes what happens is they look at the scripting and whatnot,
and
they say, this scripting is very similar to scripting that we knew came from here and here and here and here, and that we do believe is, so therefore we're making this assumption. They don't know.
Well, Cassian, I want to thank you very much for taking time out of a busy event there out in Oregon, the wedding of your son, James. Have a great time at the wedding and get something to eat before the celebration, right?
I will, and I can't look forward to getting back home.
All right. Thanks so much for being with us. Back in just a moment, folks.